Good morning, church. Buenos dias, iglesia. It's good to be here this morning in the house of the Lord. Let Jesus out. Let the Lord out in our lives, to our friends, to our family, to our co-workers. Let Jesus out. I'm asked at times, how do I become a better evangelist? How can I be someone that has the courage and the boldness to talk to people about Christ? How do I get there? How do I become that kind of person? Well, I think one secret, number one, is that it should be natural. It should happen automatically. It should be part of who we are talking about and representing Jesus Christ. Psalm 39, 1 through 5 is an amazing psalm. And David is talking about, I think, what we all go through. The fear of talking about God in our different social circles, of talking about God not just on Sunday, but also on Monday and throughout the week. And so even the mighty David, Psalm 39, verse 1, reading from the NLT, says, I said to myself, I will watch what I do and not sin in what I say. I will hold my tongue when the ungodly are around. Okay? We think of David being very bold, but even he had issues with how do I talk about God around people who are not godly? What do I do? Perhaps I will just not say a word. I don't want to offend. I don't want to hurt. I don't want to lose my friends. I don't want to lose my job. So I'll keep things to myself. However, if God is real in our lives, the following will take place. Verse 2, but as I stood there in silence, not even speaking of good things, the turmoil within me grew worse. Okay? The power of God should be such that it cannot be held down. It cannot be stopped. In verse 3, the more I thought about it, the hotter I got, it says, igniting a fire of words. Verse 4 and 5, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. David recognized the urgency of talking God's words during his brief time on earth. We'll talk more about that in a second, but regardless, later on. But regardless, David could not hold it in. It was not a problem for him. He had to talk about the Lord. Jeremiah is somebody who actually had, he's a melancholic Christian. He's the one who struggles with the calling God has given to him. He loves the Lord, but he has difficulty because of the Lord. And Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah and Lamentations includes a lot of complaints about Jeremiah. Jeremiah is complaining to God about how difficult it is, all the problems God has brought to his life. So much so that Jeremiah, even he, might be tempted to keep quiet about God, knowing that when he spoke about God, problems occurred, and he didn't want to go through it. Jeremiah wasn't exactly the warrior type, okay? He wasn't looking forward to the battle. He always kind of wanted to get away from it, but he couldn't help it. He had to get into it. Jeremiah 20, beginning in verse 7, look at his attitude. We may find ourselves like Jeremiah today. Beginning in verse 7, he says, O Lord, you misled me. And I allow myself to be misled. I said a few weeks ago, I hope we are Christians for the right reasons. If you think being a Christian means you're going to have a happy, peaceful, and comfortable life, you might be here for the wrong reasons. Oh, don't get me wrong. Christ gives us comfort. He gives us healing. But there may be times where we go through no comfort zone for him. And perhaps Jeremiah had the wrong idea. He says, Lord, you misled me. And I allowed myself to be misled. You are stronger than I am. And you overpowered me. Now I am mocked every day. Everyone laughs at me. And here is one reason why people don't want to talk about Christ. Maybe we're in high school and we don't want to talk about Christ because of this. Jeremiah said, when I speak, the words burst out. Violence and destruction, I shout. So these messages from the Lord have made me a household joke, because if we're preaching the gospel and we say the Lord will have you saved, we have to say, what are we being saved from? Talking about how good God is also talking about how bad it is without God. That's part of the process. That's what Jeremiah did. He says, I'm telling the other part, and I'm having difficulties as a result. But he says, if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, like David, he says, his words burn in my heart like a fire. Can't hold it back. It's like fire in my bones, Jeremiah said. I am worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it. I have heard rumors, the many rumors about me. They call me the man who lives in terror. They threaten, if you say anything, we will report it. Even my old friends are watching me, waiting for a fatal slip. He will trap himself, they say, and then we will get our revenge on him. But the Lord stands beside me like a great warrior. Before him, my persecutors will stumble. They cannot defeat me. They will fail and be thoroughly humiliated. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. So although Jeremiah would express all the base part, the difficult parts of being a man of God, he always came back to saying, the Lord is on my side, though. He'll take care of me. But even he said, it's rough. It's so scary. It's difficult to talk about God, but I can't hold it in. We can't do it. Even when society says, be quiet, even when authority says, don't talk about the Lord, it cannot be helped if it's real. Acts 4 is that wonderful story. And the question is, at what point do we disobey our government? You know, Paul says, submit to the governing authorities. At what point do I say government? No. Authority? No. Boss, teacher? No. At what point do we say no to our authorities? And that point is exactly when they say and go against the word of God. That's exactly it. So Acts 4, beginning in verse 1, while Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees, the Jewish authorities. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, put them in jail until morning. But many of the people who heard the message believed it, so the number of men who believed now totaled about 5,000. It was 3,000 earlier, now it's 5,000. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of the religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? But then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, and here's the thing, if you're filled with the Lord, it's not going to be stopped no matter what. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? They had just healed somebody. Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, a man you crucified, but whom God has raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one who referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the chief cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. No other name, no other doctrine, no other scenario can save our souls. Only Jesus Christ. This is very scary to say, but Peter said it, knowing, having already been punished for talking this way, knowing he will be punished, he could not help it. It had to come out of him. Verse 13, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they can see they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. That may be also a reason why we don't want to talk. I'm not trained. I've not read enough. I've not studied enough. No. God can use you exactly where you are to glorify God. So exactly where Peter and John were, they did mighty works for God. They also recognized, however, I love this, they also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. What should we do with these men? They asked each other. We can't deny that they performed a miraculous gift. And everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them further from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name. So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. See, it's at that point you say, no. If it's real inside of you, you're going to say, no. But Peter and John replied, do you think God above wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop. We cannot help. We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. If it is real inside of us, it cannot be stopped. Luke 19, another story. Luke 19, 28. Luke 19, 28. Once again, be quiet. Keep quiet. Don't talk about the Lord. But I want us to be people who must talk about the Lord. Well, let's go to verse 36. Luke 19, 36. Time is fleeting. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. This is when Christ went through Jerusalem on the colt, on the donkey. And when he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Again, if anything, as David said earlier, I got to talk about what Christ has done for me. I cannot keep it to myself. If God has done good things to us, how do I keep it in? And so they were praising God because of what the Lord had they seen through the Lord. And they said, blessings be on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. But some of the Pharisees came along in the crowd and said, teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. He replied, if they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers. You may be saying to yourself, I don't have that power. I have no problem keeping Christ in the entire week. How do I become somebody who must talk about the Lord? How do I get like David and even Jeremiah, who recognized, wow, I'm being hurt over this, and yet I must still talk about it. How do I become more evangelical? Well, I think David gave one important tip in the first part. I have three bits of advice. The first advice was given by David in Psalm 39. Let's go back to Psalm 39, 4 and 5. Psalm 39, 4 and 5. This morning we were talking about how we forget things very easily as human beings, and we have to be reminded over and over again. So much energy in the Bible is given to reminding of ourselves of important things. But Psalm 39, verse 4, David says a very important truth. Lord, remind me of how brief my time on earth will be and is. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment at best. Each of us is but a breath. How is that linked to talking about God? It's because we don't have much time to do it. Take advantage of your life and health and energy right now. That's not guaranteed. Tomorrow is not promised. I tell people all the time that between the ages of 22 and 28, I don't know what happened, okay? I was 22, and then I was 28. There were 6 years where I don't quite know exactly what happened. I realized, whoa, I'm 28. Life's going by real quick. Right now, I am 40 years plus one, not 41. I am 40 years plus one, okay? And I'm like, I'm 41 years old already? I remember very clearly being 18. I remember being 16, and I'm 41 years old already. You know what that means? Before I know it, I'll be 82 years old. Before I know it, I'll be 82. And the question is, how many people have I spoken to about God in these years? How much time did I waste doing stupid things until 41 years old and now talking about God? And I have to say, I have spent many of my years before 41 doing silly, stupid things. If only I had spent more time talking about God in those years. So now, recognizing I'm 40 years old now, I'll be 80 in no time. I must use my time right now quickly. Time flies by. If you ask people who are 80 years old right now, they will tell you, time flies by. Ask Joy. Joy's 90 right now. She will tell you, time flies by. Use your time right now. Don't think you have all day and all night. In fact, speaking about days and nights, Jesus Christ spoke about this. John 9, verse 4. Please understand. Please, young people, know you don't have much time. Please remember. This is why in John 9, verse 4, Jesus Christ said, we must quickly, there's an urgency. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. Night in those days was real night. There were no night lights. There was no cell phones. It was dark in those days when it was dark. And when it was dark, you couldn't do any work. And in the same way, our lives, if we're healthy, if we're breathing, if we can talk to people, we're living in day right now. But there will come a time, night is coming, and we can't work. And I hate that thought because I think there are people who can't talk about God all they want to. They can't walk around as they used to be. Their energy is no longer there as it was. They're in the night, or they see night coming right now. And they may say to themselves, man, I wish I had used my day in a better way. Because night is coming and it's all over. So that's one reason why we should be compelled to talk about God. We won't be here very long. How are we using our time? Number two, we have to have a passion about loving other people. We got to love people. If we only love Christians, that's difficult enough as it is loving Christians, right? But if we only love people in church, that's not good enough. We have to love people outside of church. We got to love them and really care for people and sinners. Here's the thing about it. We are amazed that Christ, that God loved us. We talk about how Christ died for us and he loved us and all these things. And we know this. It's amazing. You know, Romans 5, 6, and 8, my time's running out, so Romans 5, 6 through 8 says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's amazing that he loved us while we were sinners. But I think although it's amazing, we've gotten used to it. It's phenomenal. What we don't remember at times is that for us to become a Christian today, all of us who are Christians today, somebody, some human being loved us while we were sinners. I'll say it again. All of us who are Christians today, we're brought here because some human being loved us while we were sinners. Every single person here is here because somebody loved us while we were unlovable. What right do we have to take away our love from other people in the world in that same fashion? The Bible's very clear. If we forget where we came from, hence we forget that we were loved into the body of Christ, we become useless. If we become people that will only love people who are lovable, we become useless. 2 Peter 1, 8 and 9. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Very, very clearly, please love people. Because he says, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting, there he goes, forgetting things again, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. Remember where we came from. Remember how we got there. There is somebody who loved us, human being who loved us while we were yet sinners. And we need another human being to be saved, if only to get baptized. I love how God made that part of salvation. You must get baptized by somebody, okay? But nevertheless, we are all here because somebody loved us. So love other people. If you love people in the world, you're not going to be able to hold it in. You're going to see somebody who's sinning on their way to hell and say, I got to say something about this. I got to tell you about what God has done for me. So one, recognize the urgency. Two, love other people. But three, love God. Love God more and more. I think many of us love God, but have you fallen in love with God? Have you fallen in love with the Lord? Are you passionate for God? When you think about Christ, do you smile? Can you hold him back? Because I tell you right now, we are all very passionate about things that we are falling in love with that are not God, and we can't stop talking about it at all. Like right now, everybody I meet right now, I tell them, my New York Mets have won 15 of the last 16 games. I am so happy. I'm telling everybody about it. You know why I love my Mets? That's how it is. If you love God, you'll be the same way. I hope I'm the same way for God. I think I am. I'm sure I love God more than the New York Mets. I'm sure about that. And so I tell people, because I love God, I can't hold it back. I'm excited about it. Everybody should know how awesome God is. Love the Lord. We love God, but are we in love with God? And so how do you fall in love with God? Well, it's the same way you fall in love with anybody else. You spend time with him. You hang out. You talk to him. You do things with him. Right? And you get to know the person. Here's the thing about God. If you hang out with him, if you love him, and do things with God, you will fall head over heels for him. That's how lovely he is. That's how great he is. You don't got to figure it out. It's not going to be iffy. No, if you do things with the Lord, love him, read the Bible and pray to him, you will fall in love with him. Alex, how do I increase my faith? How do I increase my love for God? Hang out with God. Do things with God. And it will happen. Pray to him. And then, as the Bible says, even out of gratefulness, even out of being grateful, just thinking about how much God has done for us, we will do things for God. Time's flying. One more story. Maybe two more. Luke 7:36. Luke 7:36. This lady, I'm running out of time. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him, so Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on him. Why was she acting out? Why was she serving God? What gave her the courage to act this way? When the Pharisee who had invited him saw that, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. She's a sinner. You can't love this person. That's kind of where he was so righteous, he couldn't love sinners anymore. Then Jesus answered his thought. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. The teacher told him this story. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people. 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other, but neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing me. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she's anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little, who thinks of forgiven little, shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. We should be talking about God just out of that. God has done so much for me, I got to talk about him because I have much to be thankful for. We will bless everybody around us. Last psalm, Psalm 40, 1 through 10 as we close. And again, same theme, same idea. Please don't hold God in. Don't hold him down. Our time is short. Fall in love with him. Psalm 40, 1 through 10. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of prayer to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed, and they will put their trust in the Lord. Oh, the joys of those who trust in the Lord, who have no confidence in the proud or in those who worship idols. O Lord, my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans are too numerous to list. You have no equal. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to an end of them. You take no delight in sacrifices or offerings. That's in the Old Testament. You take no delight in sacrifices or offerings now that you have made me listen. I finally understand. You don't require burnt offerings or sin offerings. Then I said, look, I have come. As is written about me in the scriptures, I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart. I have told all your people about your justice. I have not been afraid to speak out, as you, O Lord, well know. I have not kept the good news of your justice hidden in my heart. I have talked about your faithfulness and saving power. I have told everyone in the great assembly of your unfailing love and faithfulness. I pray we Christians today can speak that and feel that way in Jesus' name. If not, why not? Let's talk about that. And for anybody who is not saved this morning, if you believe and are baptized in the name of Jesus, you will be saved. Please think of these things as we stand and sing.